Now the Federal Drive with Tom Temin.
Hello and thanks for joining us on this Monday, May 2nd, 2016, 5 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Temin. Our producers are Eric White and Sam Mufert. Our web editors, Jory Heckman and Michael O'Connell. Coming up in this hour of the Federal Drive, the customs part of Customs and Border Protection has also been busy lately. We'll get an update from Trade Operations Acting Director Susan Thomas. Plus, the Defense Health Agency considers new value-based models for paying health care providers. Those stories and much more ahead during this hour of the Federal Drive. But now, 2 years after it passed sweeping Veterans Affairs reform, Congress is already at it again. The Veterans First Act, introduced in the Senate this week, is aimed at addressing problems members believe still persist within the Veterans Affairs Department. That includes everything from benefits appeal to whistleblowers. Joining me with more, Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. So, Meredith, tell us more about this bill. Sounds like a big one.
It is almost 400 pages, and like you said, it addresses a lot. Accountability, education, healthcare, homelessness, whistleblowers. But it should not, however, be confused with the CHOICE Act. The Veterans First Act was introduced by Johnny Isaacson and Richard Blumenthal. They're the chairman and ranking member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, and this bill is the product of about 10 months' worth of work. So in introducing this bill, it's fixing a lot of the problems with that CHOICE Act from 2 years ago, and Blumenthal acknowledged that.
This is a little bit like fixing the plane while you're flying it. This system can be and must be improved, and this measure will help advance its efficiency and its fairness. That's the real lesson here, that we are learning from experience. We are learning from the problems that have arisen in the existing system, and we're making it better. And there may well be a need to make it better still. This may not be the last word. But the point is, we have to go forward and make sure that there is strict accountability, not just in the rules, but in the culture.
So they're reforming the reform. Give us some highlights of that bill.
One of the most significant things is that this bill changes the way in which certain senior leaders can be hired and fired. Under the current law, all senior executives have the right to appeal disciplinary action with the Merit Systems Protection Board. The Veterans First Act would make it so that the Veterans Affairs Secretary would have the final word for healthcare and medical center executives. That's significant because that's where a lot of the problems and misconduct have stemmed from of late.
So that's the provision that puts them under Title 38 of the code instead of Title 5, like the other senior executives. Okay.
Late last year, there was this big uproar over two senior executives who allegedly misused the department's relocation program. And that led to this cycle of disciplinary action, appeals, more disciplinary action, more appeals. And so here's Isaacson and then Blumenthal addressing this accountability provision in the new law.
Everybody working in the VA is subject to being held accountable and expedited discipline in terms of their job. If they are a senior executive manager within VA, they're subject to the secretary solely in terms of their employment, both in hiring and firing, and they don't have an appeal to the Merit System Protection Board. So it's unlike the situation in Philadelphia, where Secretary McDonald fired two individuals for their abuse of the housing allowance formula in Philadelphia. He fired them. They appealed to the Merit System Protection Board. The firing was overturned and they got back pay. That would never happen again under this bill for senior executive management. So there's full accountability, full due process, but full accountability to see to it somebody that doesn't do right by our veterans or is not carrying out the intent of their job is held accountable, including to the extent of their job, if that's what it takes. Richard, do you want to comment?
Yeah, sure. This is one of the central goals to improve the rules and standards compatible with due process so as to shorten some of the times, provide clarity and specificity so as to eliminate some of the grounds for appeal. Enforcement is key here, and a system that is riddled with vagueness and lengthy times can't be enforced expeditiously. This bill remedies some of those kinds of lapses or problems in the current system to make it work better and fairer.
And so that's Senator Blumenthal, and earlier we heard Senator Isaacson describing some of the bills. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And Meredith, what else is included in this bill? It's of 400 pages.
Related to employee accountability is the protection for the employees who are whistleblowers within the VA. They're the ones who are calling attention to this misconduct. And the crafters of this bill said the agency needs to provide better protections for these people. The Veterans First Act would create an Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection, and that would be led by a presidentially appointed director. And this director's job would be to work with the Office of Special Counsel, as well as the VA's Inspector General, on whistleblower cases, as well as provide annual reports to Congress on the office's activities. The bill would also require biennial training for every VA employee on whistleblower disclosures and protections. Supporters of the bill say the VA is overall an agency with really good people working for it, but there are still some people where accountability is an issue. Senator Bill Cassidy said that it's like some employees who are engaging in misconduct think the VA is for them when it should be the other way around.
This is not, again, as a provider, this is not to be disrespectful of the vast majority of those nurses, those clerks, those doctors, you name it, who have been in the VA attempting to provide care, sometimes having to work against the system in order to advocate for their patient. But it is to acknowledge that there are those within the VA that the veterans have told us seem to operate as if the VA is there for their benefit as an employee, but not for the benefit of the veteran. The veteran doesn't have the power in their mind. It is actually the employee.
Senator Bill Cassidy. Anything else in the bill? This one goes on and on.
It's 400 pages, so there is a lot in this bill. Included in it is a requirement that VA launch a pilot program for benefits appeals, the expansion of the VA's definition of homelessness to include those fleeing a residence due to domestic violence. There's also an allowance of more flexible work hours for VA physicians and physician's assistants. And there's also the ability of survivors of a deceased veteran to apply for benefits without filing a formal claim. There's also a requirement for schools that receive post-9/11 GI Bill payments. They have to provide annual reports to the VA on the academic progress of veteran students. Going back to the medical care for veterans, Senator Mike Brown said he's very excited about making the VA the primary payer for veterans under the CHOICE program.
Particularly glad that this bill includes a provision from legislation which I had previously introduced, which makes the VA the primary payer for all care under the CHOICE Act. This fixes an issue that was affecting veterans across the nation by forcing them to pay unnecessary deductibles, which in some cases was thousands of dollars. That was for their care when they would use the private sector. By making the VA the primary payer in all circumstances, we are putting the responsibility for deductibles back on the VA where it should have been all along.
What happens next?
Isaacson said the leaders of both congressional chambers are aware of the legislation. He also added that this package is not a competitor to the Care Veterans Deserve Act of 2016, which a handful of Republican senators, including John McCain, introduced just the day prior. Representative Jeff Miller, chairman of the Committee on Veterans Affairs, called the omnibus a positive development. And if it moves out of the Senate, he said he's very interested in getting a conference together.
Of course, he's the House side, so that means there's interest in the House in matching what the Senate does. So this one may seem to have legs.
Yeah.
All right. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues and read her story, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive, and click share with friends. Still to come on Federal News Radio, the customs part of Customs and Border Protection has also been very busy lately. We'll get an update from Trade Operations Acting Director Susan Thomas. But first, the Defense Health Agency considers new value-based models for paying health care providers. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.